Welcome to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. This show will first be broadcast on Wednesday, July 31st, 2024. July 31st on 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician with my co-host, Ron Meniza. Yep. We're coming to you live from beautiful Mansfield Hollow, Connecticut. Comment below to let us know you're here and ask questions. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, Patreon, and Buzzsprouts. You may also watch the recorded Facebook Live and Instagram Live episode at Fran Storch ND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on the show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. All right, so how are you feeling, Ron?
Yeah, I'm all right. All right, I guess.
You had a good ride on Saturday?
An okay ride on Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I'm still huffing and puffing like a freight train going up hills.
Yeah. But
that's going to happen for a while.
Because yeah.
I'm relying on my cardiovascular system to get me over the hills, not my strength.
Right. It was interesting riding next to you, because you get up the hills faster than me, huffing and puffing like a freight train. I don't huff and puff as much as you, but I'm slower than you. So I'm probably using more strength
yep.
than you are.
Right.
And I may not be pushing as hard cardio-wise as you are.
That's correct, because yeah. I saw 99% of my maximum on that ride.
Oh, and yeah. I don't think I did.
I definitely... The interesting thing is, as much as I saw, you know, I was up in zone 4 or 5 for portions of that ride when I was hitting the hills, I was not having any ill effects as far as, you know, spots before my eyes and oxygen deprivation and
that's
all that
good.
Kind of stuff. So my cardiovascular system is very good right now,
yeah.
considering all that I've been through in the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that part I'm excited about, but the not being able to put my foot down on the pedal, that's tough.
Yeah.
That's been really hard.
It's
my style
of
climbing tends to be out of the saddle, a little bigger gear, and, you know, really kind of muscling over, especially the short stuff, and I
yeah.
don't have that right now.
And we went on a very hilly ride.
It was a very hilly ride.
It was a short ride, but it was really hilly.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
you know, it'll come in time, but I've been doing a lot of reading about rebuilding, and I've got at least a month of lightweight work in front of some heavyweight work to get there. So I can't expect a lot. And lightweight work right now is high RPMs, really spinning your legs fast going up the hills, high
yeah.
reps, low weights.
Right.
And
wall squats.
Yeah, and then I am doing wall squats, and I am also doing a thing with a weight or either a kettlebell or a regular weight where
yeah.
I squat down and I, you know, up and down squats, which go for your glutes. We're working on the glutes.
Yeah.
But, you know, it feels like I'm starting all over again. That's where I'm at. I'll get
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I know how you feel. Because I can only do so much. My orthopedics are pretty good right now. My knee is in good shape. My back is in good shape. I'm not in any particular pain. I have a little weird pain in a joint in my right pinky that popped up. I don't know what that's about. But otherwise, my orthopedics are pretty good. What's complaining now, of course, is my autonomic nervous system. So if it's not one thing, it's another. And I don't know if it's because when my orthopedics get better, I get back on my bike and my autonomic nervous system is still unstable. And again, when my autonomic nervous system gets weird, I don't know if it's just that I have a damaged vagus nerve from the vaccine. So I'm still dealing with some level of spike proteins. Or is it that I'm having a flare of chronic Lyme or Bartonella? I don't know. It's so hard to know which it is. And so how to manage it is really hard. The best thing to manage it is rest.
Right.
Because I feel better when I rest.
And the other thing to realize here, and I've said this repeatedly, getting old is a professional sport.
It is.
You know,
it's so
much. And you have to realize that there's going to be a lot of things that are going to get thrown at you on a regular basis that you didn't have to deal with before.
I know.
And now you have to pay attention to a little
closer. Oh, yeah. Like teeth.
Right. Like my teeth.
Yeah. Yeah.
My teeth are
a mess. Oh, my goodness.
Mess.
You and me both. That we're both... And we brush and floss and
right.
rinse. And I put on both MI paste and a paste with calcium hydroxyapatite in it. And well, the calcium hydroxyapatite is new. So we're going to see if the calcium hydroxyapatite, we're not going to know if that's being helpful until December when I have my next, my next prophylaxis. Right. But I still have a bunch of repair to do that I'm going to have in a couple of weeks. And it's just amazing. So I'm going to do a lot better about doing that hydroxyapatite because what I'm reading about it is really good that if you... that hydroxyapatite is what your teeth are actually made of as opposed to fluoride. There's no fluoride in your teeth. Mm. Fluoride has been studied because there was somewhere where there was high fluoride in the water, and they found that in those towns people had less cavities. Mm. And so they assumed it was because of the fluoride and not necessarily because there were lots of other minerals in the water. So it's not clear. I mean, studies show that the fluoride does block the porosity in your teeth so that the bacteria can't get in. But fluoride is not naturally in your teeth or not in the amounts that they have you put on. Calcium hydroxyapatite is. And I'm reading studies. If you go online and look at the studies, you find that fluoride and calcium hydroxyapatite are neck and neck in terms of helping to prevent cavities. Well, it's just that hydroxyapatite has not been approved by the American Dental Association.
Right. Well, so, all I know is I went through many, many years as a kid, you know, we had fluoride treatments.
Yes.
That we got every year.
Right.
And so I received those and it didn't work, basically.
Right.
It didn't work. It was just my teeth were just naturally...
porous.
Bad.
Yeah.
And my parents' teeth were worse than mine, at least at this point, because both my sister and I
are... Well, you don't know. It may be that dentistry has advanced.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly. But at the same time, you know, it's... Both my sister and I are buying small cars and putting them in our mouths.
It's terrible.
And that's essentially where we're at right
now.
Yeah. I mean, that's on the program.
Right. Yeah.
Car payment.
I know. It's ridiculous,
it's
isn't it?
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's very expensive. And there is no real good dental insurance. There's no such thing as good dental insurance.
No, there's a cap. They'll only pay a certain... There's a cap of how much they'll pay per year. And then you...
And then they're only paying 50% of the procedure that you're having done. So on top of that, if you're having $3,000 worth of work done...
Yeah.
Right? They're only paying 50% of that. So if you're having $6,000 worth of work done, then they're paying 50% of that.
Wow.
But it's still, there's your cap.
Yeah.
And that $6,000 doesn't buy you much.
No, it
at
doesn't.
The dentist's office.
It's true.
So it's tough.
It's tough. Yes. Well, we'll see what the hydroxyapatite does. If that's helpful, because it's the paste I'm using has hydroxyapatite, silver, which is antimicrobial, a probiotic that is meant for your mouth, this dental lax stuff, and then it has some grapeseed extract, which is an antioxidant, and that's probably more helpful for your gums, as well as coenzyme Q10, which is also helpful for your gums, and spearmint to make it taste decent, because otherwise it wouldn't. So, and I use it as a leave-on. I don't use it to brush my teeth. I use it as a leave-on. So I brush my teeth with something else that has just a good xylitol toothpaste. And then I use that paste and I leave it in. I rub it on my teeth and leave it on. And I do it at nighttime so it can sit on my teeth overnight. So we'll keep you posted on to how that goes. And then as far as my autonomic nervous system, again, it's so hard to know if it's because, you know, my vagus nerve is just permanently compromised or it's temporarily compromised and that there's a way for me to nourish it. And I'm going to look at doing some vagus nerve retraining, that kind of stuff, vagus nerve exercises. So maybe it will come back. And I'm taking supplements that can help nerves. And I'm going to look into maybe taking lion's mane. I may go back to taking vitamin B1, benfotiamine, intense vitamin B1, so I can get that nerve back. Because it's really not pleasant. If I push myself or I don't get enough rest, I get lightheaded, I get dizzy. Sometimes I'll get, it's rare for me now to get that sort of panicky sensation, although it does happen sometimes, and it's more likely to happen if I'm excited while sitting. So if like, and where that's likely to happen is the office. So if I'm with a lot of patients, I'm, you know, stretched out doing stressful things for a long time without rest, that's not really good. So work days are tough because that can happen sometimes. And I have things on my desk to help with that. I have L-theanine and Rescue Remedy and stuff like that. And it doesn't happen all the time. It happens some days. It doesn't happen others. And, you know, I just remember the number one thing to calm yourself down is deep breathing. That's really good for me. Deep breathing and rest. And I can't always get deep breathing and rest. And I'm wondering if I'm a little flared right now because when my orthopedics get better, I get back on the bike. And getting back on the bike is another kind of stress. And my body has to, and I'm, because I haven't been on the bike a lot, I have to get my fitness back. And so a short ride is difficult for me, and then my body has to recover from that. Now, a very short ride on the trainer doesn't seem to bother me. So I got in the trainer today for half an hour with a couple of hills, and that was that. I'm fine. And in terms of getting outside for 20, 30 miles, that's taxing to me. So I have to learn how to recover from that. My body has to learn how to recover from that. And I was able to get back from that in 2022. And then in 2023, I got hit with Lyme disease again. Hmm. And Lyme disease and Bartonella, and they go after your, they all by themselves without vaccine issues, they go after your vagus nerve. And my immune system might be having a hard time fighting those because of that, because of the immune compromise. So it's very exciting. So we're still working on it. We'll let you know how it's going. And as you can see, it's an up and down cycle. It's hard to get through. So, all right, let's talk about the wonderful produce. Everything, this is that time of year where everything comes in all at once. July, August, oh my goodness. How can you, we have like half a dozen corn on the cob that we get at the farmer's market. The plums, the peaches, the blueberries, they all come in at once. I have boxes of little plums. I have little yellow plums and I have little purple plums. We got tons of peaches. I didn't wind up making a crumble, and I don't know if the peaches might be done. I don't know because I haven't been seeing the peaches at the farmer's market. The plums are still there, but the peaches, I didn't see them. Blueberries seem to still be coming in. I went to Winsong Farms yesterday and Donna Dufresne was having a little festival there. So I got some treats there at the festival. And I was very happy because a couple weeks ago I had found some really good quality decaf black tea that was flavored. It was apricot decaf black tea. And so I can make iced tea with it and it doesn't have too much caffeine in it. So I can drink a lot of it. And that was exciting. And I liked the apricot tea so much I went back and I got mango decaf and blueberry decaf. So I was excited about that. And then there was Elaine was there, and Elaine makes these adorable coasters. And I have a fascination with the axolotl. It's your fault, Kyone Wolf, because she had an axolotl. She posted an axolotl that they had at NPR at some point. So I got fascinated with it. The axolotls are really cute. So here's the coaster. If you're looking at Facebook Live or Instagram Live, here's the coaster with a picture of a cute axolotl on it. And axolotls are cute because they look like they're smiling. And you're probably wondering, what the heck is an axolotl? Well, you can tell by the name because of the X and the TL that it's Mexican. So that's the native Mexicans, the Aztec language and a couple of the languages in Mexican, they have that. They have X's and TL's in them. So it's a Mexican animal, and it's an amphibian, like a frog. So they grow in the water. They are in the water, and they're in waterways, I believe, around Mexico City. So I have that. And then when I went to my mother's last time in May, I got a plush axolotl. It's a great big pink plush axolotl. I think everyone should have one of these. They're adorable. And so it's a big, you know, it's like a mush, but it's not that brand. And it's very cute because it's smiling and it has those funny, fluffy ears like an axolotl has. And it has that little cute smile and makes me happy. So, you know, anything to make you happy when you're, when you're struggling with health stuff. I have the axolotl on my bed. The axolotl is comforting. You know, it's a pillow and it's an axolotl. So it's very cute. So I wonder if Axl Rose knows what an axolotl is, because this is a rose axolotl because it's pink. Okay. So all those fruits and vegetables, you're going to be looking at all kinds of lovely minerals. Do you know peaches, one of the minerals that peaches have is boron in them. They have some boron, and boron is a great mineral for helping to build bones and to help with hormonal, especially when you're postmenopausal, it helps hormonally. I take boron every day. I take a squirt of boron from a company that has trace minerals in the boron. So I take that every day, and so I hope that's helping me. And we have outside our in our yard, we have a lot of pine trees, and the pine trees make the soil very acidic. So berries like acidic soil. So we have wild raspberries, and the wild raspberries are pretty much done, right?
Yeah, the raspberries are done.
Raspberries
the
are done.
Blackberries are good.
But the blackberries are there. I don't know if we have as many blackberries as we had raspberries. Mm-mm. There was a year, there were a couple years where we had tons of blackberries, and then the raspberries kind of took over, which is fine with me because they're both wonderful. And then this year is a very good year for the wild grapes. We have all these grapevines back there, and they have tons of grapes on them. The grapes are not ripe yet. The grapes usually don't come around till, I guess, late August, early September, right? So they'll be ripe at that point. But we're gonna have a bunch of them, and those are exciting. I like to get the Tomcord grapes from the store. The Concord grapes are a little hard to chew, and they are very tart. And the Tomcord grapes are a hybrid of Thompson and Concord, and so they're a little easier to chew, and they're not all seedy. But I'll go get those Concord grapes because the tart is good for you. The tartness is good for your digestion, antimicrobial, and of course, when you're eating all of these berries have anthocyanins in them and resveratrol. So they have wonderful antioxidants in them that are good for your blood vessel strength and collagen strength and all kinds of strengthening for your body and taking out free radicals. So here are some health benefits of eating locally. All right. So eating locally is really good for you. So when you go to the farmer's market, you're going to meet your local farmers. And one of the great things about meeting your local farmers is they're your family, they're local, and you know them, and they're your neighbors, and they're your friends. So the advantage of getting local food is it's very fresh. It was picked yesterday or today, and then it's at the farmer's market. So it hasn't come from California, where we're in Connecticut. So it hasn't come from California, so it hasn't been sitting on a shelf for a long time. They can pick it when it's ripe. They don't have to pick it before it's ripe. And it's going to taste better than stuff that's not local. When tomatoes are absolutely ripe, especially if they're from New Jersey, and there are people who insist that Connecticut tomatoes are the best. I'm from New Jersey. I don't want to argue with that because I have had wonderful, wonderful Connecticut tomatoes, especially our neighbors around here. But I have to say that Jersey tomatoes are exceptional, and so is Jersey corn. And we have had exceptional Connecticut tomatoes and corn. So local produce that's sold at farmers markets can be picked the same day. Fruits and vegetables can stay on the vine to ripen longer and have better growing conditions than if they have to travel to the grocery store. Other types of food like eggs from a farmer who raises chickens are usually fresher than options that come from far away, especially when our next door neighbors go on trips and we're told to go tend the chickens and they're like, take the eggs. So you're eating eggs that were laid today, which is nice. Chefs and home cooks agree that the freshest ingredients have the best tasting dishes. That's why food is so good this time of year. And local food is often more nutritious. Again, if it's allowed to sit on the vine until it's absolutely ripe, it's at the right place and ripeness, you're going to get the right nutrients at the right time. And it's not sitting on the shelf. So you go home and you eat it and off you go. So vitamin C degrades in fresh fruits and vegetables shortly after harvesting, and the antioxidant content of some produce declines during storage. So, and getting antioxidants, you need those, as we said, to fight free radicals and stuff that contributes to disease. And because there's no travel, it's coming from Lebanon to stores, and that's it. Or Willington to stores, or even Mansfield Center to stores, which if you don't know where those are, we're talking a maximum of 8 miles. Well, no, Lebanon to stores is probably 10-ish plus, yeah. Whereas Mansfield Center is 5, and Willington is probably less than 10. So the fresh asparagus at the farmer's market is probably more nutritious than what you see in the store from a distant place. And it's important to note that all types of fruits and vegetables, whether they're fresh or frozen, local or non-local, provide important nutrients. So just because you're not getting them from the farmer's market, you know, if it's the wrong time of year for farmer's market, please keep going to the store and get them, because it's better to eat them than not to eat them. And you can also consider eating frozen, because when they're frozen, they are picked when they're ripe, and they're frozen at the time that they are have the highest nutrition, and you'll get a lot of nutrition from frozen vegetables. Time to sip water. Mm. Okay.
And coffee.
And by the way, in terms of my dysautonomia, sometimes when I'm feeling a little off, I will realize that there's a hydration piece to it. And of course, one of the things they tell you when you have dysautonomia, sort of POTS symptoms, is to drink extra water to keep your blood volume up. So the blood, you have extra enough blood volume to get to your brain. And if I drink a great big glass of water, I feel better. And especially if it's cold. So you'll see me sipping while I'm sitting on the, if you're watching Facebook Live or Instagram. Okay. So when you eat local, you can try new foods, especially if you go to Tobacco Road, because you'll go to Anita and you'll go, what's that? And Anita will tell you, and I'll be like, what do you do with it? And Anita will tell you, she knows how to cook it. So that's a really good thing too. Did you notice that when you're like, what the heck is this, produce, and then yeah. You ask Anita, and then she's like, here's what you do. You just saute it with a little bit of this and this, and it tastes really good like this, and that's how you use it. And you're like, okay, and you take it home and you try it. So the farmers are growing it, so they know how to cook it, and they'll tell you about it, or they'll know how to eat it. And then, you know, my office manager, Amy, she works at Tobacco Road Farm, so she'll come in with vegetables, and I'll see how she's eating them, and then I will imitate what she is doing. And I'll tell you, the fresh cucumbers, especially the little ones, especially the white ones, but I haven't seen the white ones yet, just cutting them up and dipping them into hummus, that's a great way to eat them. Just eat them instead of chips. They're better for you. And you can dip them into other substances, and they taste wonderful. So you can also sign up for a CSA, and we have CSAs around here. CSA is community supported agriculture. So a farmer grows their produce and you buy a share, and then, they work different ways. That the CSAs, you might get to pick what you want to have in your box, or you might have to just take whatever they give you. When I was in Newfoundland, we belonged to a CSA, and at that CSA, we had to take what they had, and if we didn't know what to do with it, oh well. And they gave you so much produce at that time, and can you imagine, it was Newfoundland, and they had a summer CSA, and it was great. So we had to share a box with somebody, because the produce was too, we couldn't, it was just two of us, we couldn't eat it all. So the boxes can have unique produce, like Romanesco. Romanesco is a really interesting looking sort of broccoli cauliflower hybridish thing, and it's fractal. It looks like a fractal. It looks like a thing from space. It looks like an alien. It's really, really cool. You can get celeriac, and Tobacco Road definitely has celeriac. And celeriac is something that, it's a celery root, and it tastes like celery, and you can cut it up and put it into your soup, and it'll give you that nice, bright celery flavor in your soup and give you celery nutrients and detoxifying benefits, too. And radicchio, which is an interesting, another interesting bitter green. And patty pan squash, which we definitely get. There's those cute squash that are sort of, they look, whereas the Romanesco actually looks like an alien, the patty pan looks like a spaceship. So it's round, but conical on either end, and then it has serrated edges, and it's very cute. So you don't always find those in the stores. Well, we have them at the Willimantic Food Co-op because they buy from those same farmers. So, when you buy local food, it's helpful for the environment. There's a lower carbon footprint because it's not being flown across the country. It's being driven from Lebanon, Willington, Mansfield, or, you know, wherever you are, your local farm, wherever that is, Tolland. Wherever your local farms are. Food travels a shorter distance to the markets and the stores, and so there's much less carbon emissions, and there's no standardized distance that characterizes foods as local. So stores make that decision what they consider as local. So if you're getting local corn, it might be coming from 100 miles away in your state. Or it might be coming from 50 miles away across the border in Massachusetts, or in our case. Yeah, the Mass border is less than 50 miles from us. We live in the quiet corner, so we are maybe 20, 30 miles. Like if you went as the crow flies to Massachusetts, how far is it? Like 20 miles?
25
miles. And as the crow flies to Rhode Island?
25.
About the same, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, we're right in the middle.
Yeah, we're right in the middle of the quiet corner. Shh. Yeah, I was having that conversation with Kim yesterday. She said she didn't think that this was the quiet corner. She thought the quiet corner was really Thompson and maybe Union.
Quieter.
But I said, no, Mansfield is considered to be the quiet corner. It's all of Windham County, part of Tallinn County, and part of New London County. Because I would consider, because Lebanon, you have to remember, Lebanon is in New London County.
That's correct.
And I would consider that totally part of the quiet corner. And I would also consider Voluntown and Sterling as part of the quiet corner. You know, that they're...
Oh, yeah. Well, east of the river is a very quiet zone in comparison to the rest of the
state. But you wouldn't consider extreme southeastern Connecticut, like, you know...
I would.
That's the quiet corner, too?
I would consider it its own quiet corner, yeah. It's not the northeastern quiet corner. It's the southeastern quiet corner.
So just east of the river is it.
You know, there's a lot more congestion in southeastern.
Yes, there is. That's why I would think of it because it's Mystic.
We have New London and Mystic and Norwich
and Groton.
You know, and Groton and all that right on the shore.
Yeah.
But as you go north of there, Norwich
and Ledyard, I would consider part of the quiet corner.
Because I grew up down there, and I grew up in a town that had 5,000 people, and it was a farm town. It was all farms
this
at that
little
time.
Town.
It's not anymore. Now it's a house town.
Right.
It's filled with houses. All the farmers sold their houses.
Because
except for us.
Sold their land.
We haven't sold
our
farm yet.
Yeah.
So our farm still exists.
Oh, that's very nice.
As a farm, which we will be at in September.
That's right.
Right?
That's true. For a gathering, yes.
A gathering.
It's very nice.
Yes.
So some local foods may come from right down the street. And then there's less waste in plastic packaging. You know, the produce is just sitting out, and we bring our reusable bags, and we just carry things in our reusable bags, and we try to use the reusable bags until they're absolutely falling apart. We have reusable bags. We'll use one reusable bag for years until it's falling apart. And so there's less waste. And some things come in plastic, like they package the greens in plastic. And we try to reuse those bags until they're no good also. And you're supporting local farms. It's healthier for the ecosystem. It maintains farmlands in your area. If they are, they're using sustainable practices, it boosts biodiversity. They protect pollinators. So we know that the farms around here, they use things like fish emulsion. They use compost. They rotate their crops. They don't spray. They don't use any chemical fertilizers. So the produce is going to be really, really healthy. When you eat locally, it supports your regional economy. You're supporting your neighbors. So the money's going to continue to circulate locally. That local food has a multiplier effect. It contributes to increased employment and income in a community. And it has other positive effects that way. And the same reason a stimulus package boosts the national economy, spending money in your community boosts the local economy. It provides jobs for community members and their owners. And those local folks are going to cycle their incomes back into local institutions. So eating local teaches you how your food is grown. So, you know, you can ask the farmers at the farmer's market exactly how the food is grown, and they'll tell you. And the farmers are standing there selling their produce. I mean, they sometimes will have workers who work with them, but people who sell at the farmer's market usually also work on the farm. And they tell you exactly how it's grown and what the benefits of the produce are and how to cook it. And it's really wonderful. And you build relationships and you become friendly with those farmers markets. So going to the farmers market is an event because it's only a certain time. I always thought the farmers market is really beneficial because it's only a certain time a week. And you see a lot of the same people every week. You see the same farmers every week. And you have to go at that time. So it's a social event. And so, you know, you get to socialize with people, you get to see people and chat with them, and that's always nice. And it's in a cheery environment. You're outside, so it's pleasant there. And people tend to bring their dogs. People who shop there who have dogs, they like to bring the dog to the farmer's market to help the dog get socialized. So because they're doing that, they're generally happy to have you interact with the dog, which really works for me. So I get to meet lots of dogs at the farmer's market. That's fun. But they do that specifically so that you can do that, so the dog gets socialized. So when you have a good connection to the food that you eat, you just feel good about it. So eating local is actually easier than you think. You can go to your local farmer's market. You can join the local food co-op, which we are so lucky to have in Willimantic. You can sign up for a CSA share. You can do. You could go to farm-to-table eateries in your area, which may have a CSA as part of the restaurant. And you can browse the produce section. Even we have a supermarket in Connecticut, Massachusetts that tries to buy local. And they're advertising. They show you the local farmers that they're buying from. So that's helpful, too. Because you'll see things in that supermarket that come from, you know, artisans and farmers in the area. It's very nice. So it has a host of positive economic, social, and environmental effects. Local foods tend to taste fresher, be more nutritious, use less packaging, strengthens economies. And so it's great to look for the farmers markets in your area. And we have here, we have the Willimantic Farmers Market, which is in Gilson Square, from 9 to noon on Saturdays in the summer. And we have Storrs Farmers Market, which is most of the year, from May to, May through October, November. It's outdoors and it's from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. at Town Hall. And then they take a break. No, they don't take a break. Then they start the winter's market, the winter market in December. And the winter market is only twice per month. It's usually the first and third Saturday of the month. And they have it in the Buchanan Auditorium, which is in at the Mansfield Public Library. So that's fun because we don't have to run to the farmer's market every week. And so you get a little bit of a break from that. But on the other hand, you're very happy to see people when you go to the farmer's market. And in the farmer's market in the winter is kind of fun because people tend to bring things different than they bring in the summer. They tend to bake more. There's more baked goods. So that's a little bit of a change. And in the summer, there's all the wonderful produce. And other people come with baked goods in the summer. So there's always baked goods. Baked goods, and there's produce all year. So anyway, and there's farmers markets in lots of towns. The Tallinn Farmers Market is, I believe, maybe 9 to 11. I'm not sure exactly. There's one in Ashford as well, and there's one in Ellington, and there's one in the big ones in Coventry on Sundays, and that's 11 to noon. The one in Scotland is on Wednesday afternoon. I think it's at the Legion, that Legion Hall, or it's at a hall in, maybe it's either Town Hall or the Legion Hall in Scotland on Route 97, right off the Scotland Green. So contact your, if you are not sure if you have a farmer's market in your town, all you have to do is look online for a farmer's market and put in your town, and you'll get the nearest farmer's market to your town. And they're all over the state. So, and if you're listening to me in another state, you should find them in your town, in your state as well. So that's about why farmer's markets, the benefits of eating local. And then here's why farmer's markets are good for your health. Farmer's markets help you to eat a diet that's rich in fresh fruits and vegetables and has a lot of health benefits. You get to eat fiber, which keeps you full and manages your digestion. It diminishes risk and effects of diseases like heart disease, type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, and even some cancer. Fresh fruits and vegetables give you a lot of essential vitamins and minerals, factors to help boost your health and energy that your body can't make on their own. When you eat a diet rich in fresh whole foods, it means you eat less calories, reducing your risk of weight gain. So overweight, of course, can be associated with type 2 diabetes and high blood pressure. Fresh foods have wonderful superpowers. And here's some specific fresh foods and their superpowers. Asparagus. Here, it's in alphabetical order. Isn't that cute? Asparagus has a lot of folate in it, which can help to prevent neural tube issues during pregnancy. And there was a study that showed it may reduce oxidative stress and prevent liver and kidney damage. And so folate is also, you need extra folate if you have methylation issues. And that's something you can talk to your doctor about or your naturopathic physician whether you have a methylation defect. That's something you can get tested for. And if you do, you need to eat extra folic acid. And it's better to have methylated folic acid. But if you don't convert your folic acid to activated folic acid well, it doesn't mean that you're not converting it at all. It means that you have a lower rate of conversion. So you can just eat more. So if you eat food with folic acid in it, you're going to increase your level of folic acid, and that's helpful. Beans have a lot of protein and also folate and antioxidants that help with heart health. They can reduce cancer risk and contribute to blood sugar metabolism. They help your appetite, prevent fatty liver disease, and promote good gut health. I am a fan of the bean. I have bean salad a few times a week, and I have hummus a few times a week, which I enjoy very much. Beets. Now, I am a fan of the beet. We get raw beets. The beets are wonderful. Remember the beet. We got the beet. And the beets have betalins in them, which are wonderful antioxidants. So beets have fiber, folic acid, and manganese. Manganese is helpful for your joints and your collagen structures. And we get fresh beets and we grate them into our salads. I also like to eat pickled beets, and I don't mind eating beets in a soup or steamed beets. I'm a fan of beets, so I'll eat them any which way. And I don't mind drinking beet juice. Not everybody likes them, but I am a fan of the beet. And if your urine or your stool turns color when you eat beets, don't worry about it. It's just the betalins coming out. There's nothing wrong with it. If you were to dip your urine, you know, do a urinalysis for blood, you would find that there's no, if there's blood in there, then it's for another reason. It's not because of the beets. And you can have a perfectly healthy urinalysis and have orange urine from eating beets. So don't worry about that. So beets are also high in nitrates, which the body converts into nitric oxide, which can help lower your blood pressure and improve circulation and relax your blood vessels and lowering cardiovascular disease. Then blueberries. They are not very high in calories. They have phytochemicals. They have anthocyanins and flavanols. They also have tannins, which are antimicrobial. And blueberries have resveratrol in them. So you always think of grapes as having resveratrol. Well, guess what? Blueberries have it too. They're just super high in antioxidants. And so they can help to reduce the risk of cancer and inflammation, can reduce Alzheimer's disease effects and general age-related changes. So I like to have a little bit of muesli and granola. I don't have great big bowls of those because you shouldn't eat a lot of that. So what I do is I have a little bit and I put some dairy substitute in it and I top it with a bunch of berries, and including blueberries. Then there's broccoli. Broccoli is amazing. It's really a power superfood. It has sulforaphane in it, which can protect against cancer. And there's more sulforaphanes in broccoli sprouts than in actual broccoli. But if you're not getting sprouts, if you're not making the sprouts, or you're not finding the sprouts all the time, it's perfectly fine to regularly eat broccoli. And we tend to, I don't really care for raw broccoli. And I think because I'm a little concerned about the goitrogens, because if you eat cruciferous vegetables and you don't cook them, they have some goitrogenic compounds in them. And Ron is actually hypothyroid, so he takes medicine for his thyroid, so he really shouldn't eat raw broccoli. And so when we eat broccoli, we tend to eat it in soups and stir fries. At least cooking it a little bit is a good idea. Put it in a soup or put it in your stir fry, which is what we tend to do. Or you could roast it. That's the other thing that you can do. Then there's carrots. Carrots are super high. It's the highest thing you can eat in beta carotene. The body converts beta carotene. So just so you know that produce doesn't have vitamin A in it. Produce has beta carotene in it. And the body converts beta carotene to vitamin A. And vitamin A and beta carotene are both anti-cancer, and they help with normal cell differentiation. So they're going to help you with rashes. They're going to help you with your eyesight, because rhodopsin, which is your the compound that changes in your eyes so that you can have night vision, is basically vitamin A. It's a vitamin A analog. So that's why carrots help with your night vision. And if you have a beta carotene deficiency, you won't see as well at night. And so the high antioxidants can be linked to lower risks of certain cancers like lung and colorectal cancer. Then there's cherries. I think we've still got cherries coming in. Cherries, I don't think they grow around here. They actually, that may not be true, because we're getting cherries at the Willy Co-op. I'm not sure where they're grown. We definitely get cherries from out west. Washington State is known for growing lots of cherries. They have fiber. They have potassium. They're great for heart and gut health. They have wonderful antioxidants. They have anthocyanins and hydroxycinnamates, which are great for preventing oxidative stress. Cherries also help you to make serotonin, tryptophan, and melatonin. So some people drink tart cherry juice. You can, and it's okay. If you are into cherries for sleep, you want cherries to help you sleep, you can do Bing cherries or tart cherries. They both have, they both have all those antioxidants in it. And I think, I'm not sure why tart cherries were so, they're so well studied for antioxidant effect, because Bing cherries may have more. Because when you're looking at produce, if produce is really dark, it's going to have more antioxidants in it. And I think Bing cherries actually have more antioxidants than tart cherries. You can have some cherries before. I should be doing that, having cherries with my dessert or for dessert, and make sure I get through the cherries. All right. And then there are collard greens. We don't eat them a lot because Ron's not a fan of heavy greens. This time of year, we're tending to eat more salad. And so we're eating greens that are easier to chew, you know, so we're eating things that are, and the thing is, if you're eating salad, you don't really want to eat a tough green unless you've distressed it. And you can distress a green. You can take a green and tear it apart and massage it. You can put oil and good quality salt on it and massage it well so it breaks down so that you can chew it. Collard greens are pretty heavy. I think collard greens are really best eaten sautéed or in soups. And they're really, really good for you. We tend not to eat them because Ron's not a big fan, but they're really high in calcium. And eating collard greens helps to protect you from stomach and colorectal cancer, which probably means it has a bunch of... it has carotenoids in it, and it has folic acid in it. It's a leaf. Anything that's a leaf is going to have folic acid in it. Folate, the fol is the leaf, right? All right, so collard greens, I would probably eat them more if I was not eating with Ron, but we would have to just have to be really, you know, cooked down or distressed.
I would eat more garlic and onions if it weren't for Fran.
I know.
So let's have a little food exchange here.
That's unfortunate. That's really and you know, you should find a way to eat them anyway. Just saute them separately and put them in your food because they're really good for you.
I know.
I would love to eat them. I can eat them if they're cooked to death. But
the way my grandmother used to cook them.
Right. But what's the point? I can eat seasoning that has a little, like seasoning that's, you know, freeze dried that has a little garlic in it, and I can eat the garlic in my hummus. But fresh garlic, it's not that I don't like it. It's that it doesn't like me.
Right. You know how my grandmother used to cook it? The same way my mom used to cook it, because she passed it down.
Dead.
Kill it and cook it until it's not screaming anymore.
Aw, poor right. garlic. And I had a friend who would eat a bulb of garlic a day.
Ugh.
He never got, he stunk, but he never got sick.
Well, no one would get near him.
No.
That's
and you
why?
Know what else? Garlic is really good for helping to kill and prevent Lyme disease.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's, well, I have you taking, you're still taking that garlic every day,
every
right?
Every day. Yeah.
Right. And you don't smell.
Well, I have that's nice to know.
No, you don't smell like garlic. You're taking that
right.
that garlic.
No, I take it every day. Yeah.
And it's and that's great. And that's another thing to help you with your lipids.
So there are supplements you can take if you're not eating garlic that will give you the benefits of garlic.
Well, I don't know, because I've taken garlic supplements before, and I would still get a stomach ache from it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they don't bother me.
Yeah, no, right. No, it's not going to bother. But good is that you're taking that supplement and you don't smell from it. So that that's good. So it really is deodorized.
I smell like a delicate flower.
Sound like a delicate flower? You sure do. Yeah. So green peas are really high in fiber, which support your digestive health. They have saponins, and saponins have anti-cancer effects, and they help to reduce tumor growth and extinguish cancer cells. They cause apoptosis or apoptosis, however you say it. Okay. And then lettuce has many nutritional properties, just good old lettuce. They help your brain, your vision, and bone health, can cut diabetes risk, help fight cancer, help with weight loss, fight inflammation. It's because anything that's a leaf is going to have a lot of vitamins and minerals in it, carotenoids and folic acid and magnesium. Nectarines have a lot of antioxidants that fight oxidative stress and help prevent ailments like anemia. So a nectarine, people think that it's a hybrid, it's a plum peach hybrid. It's not. It's just basically a fuzzless peach. It's a cultivar, and I'm not sure if nectarines have to be grafted. They're kind of a strange sort of fruit, but they are not. They're their own thing. They are not. They're not a hybrid. Pluots are hybrids. They're apriplums. No, I guess a pluot is a hybrid of an apricot and a plum. Pluot, right? Yeah, and those are good. Those are very lovely. And they eat more like a plum. Oh, I guess they're sort of halfway between. Oranges have lots of vitamin C, of course. And then they have... one orange has 91% of your daily value of vitamin C. And they also have folate, vitamin B1, thiamine, potassium, fiber, and plant polyphenols. And there are studies that show having whole oranges can help lower inflammation, blood pressure, cholesterol, and also post-meal blood sugar, because oranges have pectin in them. So the pectin is going to help help you with satisfaction. And anything with a lot of fiber in it is going to help lower your postprandial blood sugar. Postprandial means after you eat. Peaches are the best. I love a good peach. And the peaches, the thing is, this year we had, I think, the right amount of rain. We had a lot of sunny days and also a lot of rainy days. And the berries and the fruit are just spectacular this year. Some years you don't get enough rain, and some years you get too much. This was a Goldilocks year for produce, I think, because the produce has just been fantastic. And like I said, you can tell from the wild stuff that's growing out there. We had a bumper crop of raspberries. We're getting the blackberries, and we're going to have a bumper crop of grapes. And did you even prune those grapevines?
I did.
So that's another way you get more fruit, is you prune the grapevines when you prune them.
Yeah, I cut them back a little bit. Yeah.
So the plant thinks that it's being cut, so it's dying. So it's like, oh, let me make some more flowers. I'll make some more fruit so I can survive. Yeah. That's how that works.
We have a lot of other grapevines around here that I could do that with.
You should do that.
But you have to do something with the grapes if we do that.
Well, we'll pick them and we'll eat them.
Well, they're really not great eating grapes.
Well, I'll eat some of them, but yeah, maybe I should make...
They're very, very... They're wild grapes.
So I'll make jam.
They'd be better to make jam out of.
How do you get the seeds out when you make jam?
You sift them. You strain them.
Oh. Do you strain them before you cook them down, or...?
No, you make them into... You cook them down, make them into mush, and then you strain them.
Okay.
You get the seeds out.
All right. Okay.
I don't know. I've only, watched it done. I've never really done it myself.
All right.
So you could, you know what you could do?
YouTube.
You could Google it.
I will.
Or YouTube it.
Yes.
Right?
And somebody knows how to do it.
Out there will be not just somebody who knows how to do it. There will be so many somebodies that have a way of doing it, and 10 different opinions as to how to do it.
I'm always telling my patients that. If I want them to do something, to add a habit into their life, the thing that I'm trying to get them in their life is usually exercise.
Right.
Just go to YouTube. It's a treasure trove. You can find whatever
you want. YouTube is my go-to library. I spend a lot of time on YouTube. Probably too much time on YouTube, but
I
learn a lot.
That's a guy thing, too, to go on YouTube and figure out how to do stuff. But also, the other reason...
It's not necessarily a guy thing. Girls do it, too.
Oh, I know. And I'm always telling my patients, especially exercise, it's like... I want you to do bone density exercises. Just go to YouTube. I want you to do, you know, I want you to do some yoga, and here's my favorite yoga teachers, and here's some recipes you can get, and you know, it's
endless. Endless. It's really, really wonderful.
Well, and the thing is, with you, with your ADHD, because you have ADHD, it's harder for you to read, so it's better for you to be visual and have somebody talking to you.
Way, way better.
Yeah. You probably, if you wanted to read a book, you should do audiobooks.
I started doing that a long time ago, but I haven't gotten back into it. But yeah, you're right. I should do audiobooks. I like podcasts. I like,
I could just read to you.
Okay.
Would you enjoy that?
I don't know.
We could try that.
We could.
I could get a mystery novel and I could read to you at night. You'll just fall asleep.
I'll just fall asleep.
I know. Yeah. I've been a good girl. What I've been doing is when you crash out, a little after you crash, that's my, I'm trying to get into the habit of, all right, Ron's asleep. Now it's my time to get out of bed, get a little more water, get my teeth brushed, and then lights out. So I've been... lights out soon after you crash out.
Yeah.
Unless I crash out first, of course.
Then there's the snoring Fran thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which happens sometimes. And it does. Tends to happen more if I ride my bike.
Right.
So
right.
Let's talk about peppers that benefit the digestive tract, promote heart health, reduce joint pain, and even help mitigate migraines. They can help with psoriasis, reduce your cancer risk, and fight viral and fungal infections. So peppers... I have to eat them cooked or pickled. I can't eat them raw, and I can't eat green peppers at all. And you may find that you do better with colored peppers than green peppers, because green peppers, I explained that to Brian at Tobacco Road, and he said to me, well, they're not ripe. So some people can eat green peppers. I really can't. So I don't care for raw peppers at all. So I eat them cooked, and I stay away from green peppers. But peppers are that they have a lot of vitamin C in them, and they have all these other health benefits. Then there's spinach. The only thing you have to be careful with spinach is it's high in oxalates. So if you tend to get kidney stones, you have to be careful with how much you eat. And that doesn't mean never eat it. It means that don't eat it every day. And if you are going to eat it, push water. The best thing to prevent kidney stones is this stuff. I'm holding up my water glass. Really, if you drink a good, you know, half to a full gallon of water a day, you're probably not going to get kidney stones. You're probably not going to get gout. That you're going to, because you're just going to flush everything out of your system. But spinach is one of the most nutrient-dense vegetables. A cup of spinach has 16% of your daily value of vitamin A. And it's not really vitamin A, it's beta-carotene. Vitamin A is only in animals, and beta-carotene is in plants and mixed carotenoids. And dark leafy greens like spinach are high in beta-carotene and lutein, which are two antioxidants associated with decreased cancer risk and eye health. I take a lutein pill every day for my eyes. Spinach may also benefit heart health by helping to reduce blood pressure. So in the winter, we tend to do this in the wintertime more. We have sog dishes. We used to have sog paneer, but I'm not doing so well with cheese, so we're having sog chicken or sog tempeh or sog tofu. And then squash has many health benefits, boosts immunity, fights inflammation, staves off infections. Strawberries, the strawberry season is done, but you can get frozen ones now. They're rich in vitamin C, folate, manganese, antioxidants, and plant polyphenols. They have anthocyanins, elagitannins. Anthocyanins and elagic acid are in all of the colored berries. They're in pomegranate, and they're in raspberries and blueberries and blackberries. And they're all really good for you, and proanthocyanins as well. And they all reduce your chronic disease risk and have a low glycemic index, so they don't have a lot of effect on your blood sugar, and they're super delicious. I like strawberry-flavored things. I like strawberry jam and strawberry ice cream and strawberry yogurt and, strawberry-flavored stuff. Strawberry sorbet, I'll eat strawberry any which way. Tomatoes are the major dietary source of lycopene, which is also in leafy greens. But lycopene is a very important anti-cancer antioxidant, and it's very high in tomatoes. If you want to, and you really have to cook the tomatoes to get the most lycopene. You don't get as much lycopene accessible to you from a raw tomato, so you'll get more lycopene from ketchup, and also from tomato juice and tomato sauce. tomato juice has been pasteurized, and that actually it makes the lycopene more bioavailable. Carotenoids generally are more bioavailable when the plant is cooked. So that's why it's good to eat some cooked and some raw, because you preserve enzymes and certain nutrients with raw food, but you get the carotenoids when you cook the food. So that's why it's good to do cooked greens sometime. And cooked tomatoes are how you get your lycopene. And so you reduce heart disease risk, cancer risk, especially prostate cancer. And they're a good source of vitamin C, potassium, folate, and vitamin K. And then there's watermelon, because it's that time of year, and has wonderful antioxidants. It has L-citrulline in it, because watermelon is citrulline, and L-citrulline can be converted to L-arginine, and you get more L-arginine in your body from consuming L-citrulline than if you took arginine. And so and that's something that can help you to lower your blood pressure. So it has vitamin A and C, beta-carotene, potassium, magnesium, lycopene. So watermelons are really powerhouses, linked to lower levels of oxidative stress and inflammation. And lycopene itself, as we said, can help to reduce heart disease, cancer, type 2 diabetes. Lycopene and beta-carotene can also help minor skin protection, help you heal faster. And you can get fruits and vegetables into your weekly menu. Try to get a variety. Grill or roast them as a healthy side dish, and to accompany some kind of a protein like chicken or fish, or a vegetarian protein like beans. You can have a colorful fruit salad with a lot of seasonal offerings, and a healthy alternative to sugar and fat-laden baked goods or ice cream. And snacks, you can have fresh peppers, carrots, cucumbers with hummus, or just cut apple with almond butter or other nut butters. And these are great great alternatives to, to pretzels and cookies and snacks like that. So that's it. We talked about fruits and vegetables, and next week we'll talk about weight stuff. All right. So you've been listening to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host Ron Meniza. You can email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, and Spotify. You may also watch the recorded Facebook Live and Instagram Live episodes at Fran Storch, ND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of the station. The information presented on the show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org.